guys, welcome to Better Bachelor. This is Joker, face for radio, voice for print. And today I'm on a guest spot with my another host here on YouTube named Donovan Sharp. He's got a great channel. I always enjoy listening to him. He's invited me on to talk to him a little bit about dating, about our pasts, and about maybe hitting the nightclubs and hypergamy, and just lots of really fun topics. So we're going to cover some stuff today. It's about an hour and 20 minutes long. I think you guys will enjoy it. So join us and listen in. It's really more of a voice cast, not a whole lot to watch, just other than our faces. And if you do enjoy this, please make sure to go check out Donovan on Donovan Sharp right here at YouTube. I'll leave a link below. He often does shows like this with different creators, and he analyzes things much like I do. It's just another voice to listen to in the manosphere if you enjoy this kind of content. So check it out, guys, and enjoy.
What's up, guys? It's your man, Donovan Sharp, and welcome to the special Saturday edition of TSR Live. I am joined, of course, by a man who needs no introduction. That is Joker. Joker, how's it going today, man?
Doing all right. Another day in paradise, right?
Got that right. Listen, 200,000 subscribers, man. You just crossed the 200,000 subscriber mark. And it's obviously taken a long time and a lot of hard work, but you seem like overnight, it was incredible. I think right around the middle of last year, I think that's when I was first familiar with you. You had like 65,000. Well, I don't know.
No. Last year at this time, yeah. I had 100 followers.
Mm.
It was October, the last week of October. I put out some video that YouTube algorithms caught, and it kind of caught a little wind. And I think in a month I jumped up to about 6,000. And then by December I was around, I don't know, 10 or 15,000. So it's been 185,000 in nine months. It's really taken off. So,
well, you know, the thing is that a lot of guys, there are a lot of guys who say, I want to be a content creator. I want to do this. I want to do that. It definitely takes skill. You have to be able to put out good content. You have to be able to educate, entertain, or both. Some people have the unique combination of both, but it also takes a little bit of luck.
In my case, 100% luck.
well, see, here's the thing. In my opinion, I think luck equals opportunity plus preparation.
Yeah.
Clearly prepared to take off, though you didn't know you were prepared to take off. So just like you said, YouTube's algorithms took one of your videos and shot it off, and you struck while the iron is hot. And now here you are. You're almost at, dude, I would probably say by Christmas time, you'll probably be at 250,000 subscribers by then, man.
Yeah, probably. I look back on my trends, and I think it was, I want to say May, I hit 100,000. I'd have to look back on my videos. So, and at that speed, that would put me probably close to 3 by Christmas. But, you know, the truth of it is that I didn't, you say, well, if you're prepared and you're ready, I had no idea this was going to happen. I wasn't prepared for this. I had no idea this was going to happen. You know, the only thing I look at is I'm pretty decent in Photoshop. I'd never edited videos or done anything. And so I had to figure out, if you look at my very first videos, they're pretty rough, but you never start out with, well, I'm going to buy $1,500 or $1,000 or $500 even of equipment.
Right.
And then jump into this because number one, it might be a money sink. You may never get that back.
Right.
And number two, you don't know if anybody's going to show up. So I think a lot of creators, I thought at one point in time, I was like, oh, I can't believe I'm coming up on 1,000 viewers. This is insane. Yeah. What is going on? How do I handle 1,000 people looking at me every time I put up a video? And now, you look back and you're like, I still feel like I'm talking, when I do a video or something, I still don't understand why people turn in. So, you take it as it comes and enjoy the moments that you have. And then when it all goes away, you pick your next target and pick your next dream and chase after that,
It's interesting that you say that because every day, I do not take what I do for granted by any stretch of the imagination. Every day I wake up and I pinch myself and I say, I cannot believe that this is my job. I absolutely love what I do. And to be able to make a decent living off of it is something that the vast majority of people don't get the opportunity or the privilege to do. So a couple more questions before we get into what we're going to talk about today. The first question is, how has your life changed since your channel took off?
None.
Oh, okay. All right.
Literally zero. So I did not come into, I've always been a pretty good investor. Probably 50% luck and just picking the right things to invest in. And then the other 50% was things that I learned from either my father or reading books. And I enjoy Aaron Clary's. I've sponsored him a couple times. He sent me some of his books and he's like, hey, will you review these? And not only did I review them, but I kind of got into them. So, you know, I've been fortunate, but my life really hasn't changed because, what's a good way? I guess this would be, I'm walking this path. I'm heading in a direction with my life and you stop and smell the roses along the way. And this is just kind of me slowing down, smelling some of the roses, but, it really hasn't altered my course any. I do feel blessed in that YouTube has, by me dancing around every other word, has allowed me to be monetized so I can bring enough in that, you know, when I want to buy things for the studio to improve what I'm doing or to maybe put some fuel in the bus and some other things. I don't look forward to the day that I'd have to go back and do a 9-to-5 again. I don't think I could do that with my life anymore. So, you know, I'll enjoy this while it lasts. And if it lasts 20 years and people still want to tune in, then, you know, I'll do it. And if the days start coming out where people are saying, it's kind of sold out. I've seen everything I think I need to see that he has to say. And, you know, things kind of slide on the wayside, I'll just move on. So maybe I'm glad that things haven't changed really in my life because of this, but I do feel more responsibility to try to put out good content for everybody that tunes in. So
listen, we were talking about this off the air. There is a lot of pressure because there are days that I wake up and I think to myself, I don't want to record two videos. I don't want to go on the air, but people now pay their hard-earned money to get access to my uncensored and unfiltered content. And I always think to myself, on days I just don't feel like giving it 100%, I think to myself, maybe there's a guy out there, one dude out there who's about to text back his cheating ex to beg her back. Maybe there's a guy who is about to make an egregious financial error with a woman he hasn't slept with yet. And I think, you know what? Maybe if that guy catches wind of one of my videos, maybe I can help that guy out. And to me, that alleviates the pressure because now I really want to help guys. I really, really want to help men. What are your thoughts on your impact? Because, I mean, listen, we're both big time influencers. You have a lot more influence than I do, but what are your thoughts on do you feel any pressure? Do you feel a responsibility? Do you feel an obligation to keep going? Or is it something that you're just kind of going to just have to take in stride?
I don't think that I feel pressure, but I do feel that, I think things changed for me probably around February or March. Like I was doing two episodes a day and I just pick up an article and I'd read from it and have a good time with it. And, I started getting a couple of emails of, and I forget which story it was, but somebody was like, you know, man, I was thinking about checking out, like taking myself out of the game.
Yeah. Right.
And it wasn't quite as much as what you said. It was the fact that your video caught my eye and I saw all these other guys that had been through this. And I'd seen all these other guys that have gone through the blender, come out on the backside and said, I'm happy now, or I'm okay on my own, or... So yeah, there's definitely that part of me that, because if you think about it, I could come on, I could do one video.
Yes. Right. You
know, here's 15 minutes on finance. Here's 15 minutes on the gym. Here's 15 minutes on what women can do to you if you get into a bad spot with them. Here's 15 minutes on living your best life. All right. Bye everybody. And that's it. But the repetition, I think is important. You know, when we go to the gym, or when you do something that's active, like I can go to the gym and work chest one day and buys, tries, traps, you know, but you keep going back and you keep working a different body part and even small tweaks to a muscle. The next day you're like, man, I'm sore. And all I did was just change something up a little bit. Right. That's how I look at my stories. Like not everybody's going to agree with my take on it.
Of course.
Here's a story of, you know, whether it's Dr. Dre or whether it's, whoever, you know, I can't think of any, but here's celebrities, 10, yeah. 10, 10, they're rich, they're muscular. Drew Brees got crapped on by his, you know, wife. Here's a bunch of stories. It's not you. It's not you, because you can have it all and a woman's still going to feel like she can get better. So it's just kind of, for me, it's just repetition. Like, because every video I get another 100, 200, 300 subs, whatever it is. That's my first video. Like, people don't know this, but YouTube will say, hey, on this video, you gained X amount of subscribers.
Right.
And so I can look and say, okay, this video got me 300 subscribers. They watched this video, and while they were watching it, hit the sub. Maybe they watched some before that, but whatever. Well, that means that that may have been their first video. Well, yeah, I've talked about this before. I've shown other examples before, but it's that repetition. And so I think as long as guys enjoy my content, and it's just understand it's me going, here's another example.
Here you go.
Example. Here you go again. And I try to make it interesting and funny, or they don't have to agree with me. People that disagree with me, as a matter of fact, is fine. I don't mind that at all. It's just, hey, let's think about this. Let's keep this in the back of your mind. Let's remember this stuff. So
listen, at some point, this stuff has to sink in. And we have detractors from all over, and there's all sorts of hate and this and that and the other. But at the end of the day, Joker, we didn't all conspire and get together to trash women. Men didn't just get together and say, hey, let's all sit here and agree on a slanderous or a libelous story to just talk a bunch of junk about women. No, men from all walks of life are having the same experiences with women. And I love it when people use the, well, maybe some, but not all. Okay, you're probably right. All women aren't like that, but they all operate under the same guidelines in terms of moving in and out of relationships. And the more men you talk to, the more in common, wait a minute, my ex-girlfriend or my ex-wife did the same thing. One thing leads to another, and we have this community. And then the outsiders are like, well, you're meeting up with the wrong women. Well, I guess 99.9% of women are the wrong women, because they all pull this type of stuff. Even my girlfriend. Dude, you don't think my girlfriend has done branch swinging? You don't think she rode the carousel? You don't think this is this is not to besmirch women at all. This is simply letting men know, listen, you've been lied to. Women, you've been told that women operate like this. You've been told that this is what makes them tick. You've been told that this is the way to get in their good graces and have a good relationship. We're telling you, based on trial and error, this doesn't work. Here's how to really do it. And women don't like us putting out the content because we're giving up the game. Women do not like it when they do not have a decided advantage in the dating market, and that's why they come after us.
Well, I think an important thing, the way that I always look at it, is that because I'm very, you know, I didn't realize this, but over time, I now have about 11,000 female subs. Because YouTube shows me I've got about a 5% female following, which surprised me. I said, but they don't post or comment below videos a lot, cause the guys will jump on them. And, but I get a lot of emails from them, and they're like, hey, I really like your channel and thank you. And I agree with you. These women are horrible. So, you know, I am one to say not all women are like this, but the thing that I think people misunderstand is that, and this is both men and women, and not understanding the other opposite sex, is that men will find a very extremely attractive woman, and even if he's married happily with kids and everything is great, if there were an opportunity he could be with her without being caught 100% and not losing his income, he probably would find a way to make that happen. That's how men work. That's the kind of their nature. The same thing comes around, but he can make the decision, even if that opportunity did arise. It's his nature to want to do it. It's also his power or his intellect or his reasoning or his understanding of the consequences.
Right.
That can make him say, I really want to, but no. And the same thing goes when it comes to hypergamy, when it comes to a woman wanting a more powerful, a better looking, that athletic, that richer, that whatever guy. Women in their nature, I think, a lot of women would say, man, he really likes me and he's hot and he's got money, but I got the husband and kids at home. Their nature is to say, I'd like to go for that. But there are women that say, I got too much to lose. It's not the right thing. I'm not going to do it. And I think the problem in today's society is not enough people are saying, I have this opportunity, but I've got to say no.
Right.
And so I can agree that all people will do all things. When a loud noise goes off, most people jump. Do all people jump? No. When someone's scared, do they run? Not all people. Some people turn around and run into the danger.
Right.
That's a conscious choice. But the big thing is I think it's important to explain that this is people's tendencies, and weak people will follow their tendencies. And you need to be aware of that. Most people today are weak. Yep. And not just men, women, husbands, wives. I mean, look at OnlyFans. You want to talk about weak? Ooh, I can make $300 showing my body. $300. I'm going to put it out on the internet. That's weakness. So
the way I see it is this, is that women cheat more than men, but it's not because they are any more licentious. It's not because they're any more deceitful or anything like that. They simply have more opportunities, because if men had the same number of opportunities to cheat as women did, the cheating numbers would be right down the middle. But the only reason why the cheating numbers are so lopsided is because women simply have more options. They have more opportunities. And I think it's in a man's nature to want to, he wants unfettered, unrestricted sexual access. This is what men want. Women want resources. That's just all there is to it. So I don't try to pander to anybody. And sometimes I will be a little extreme. Sometimes I will be a little bit theatrical, but that's on purpose. That's to drive the point home. Is every single woman out there like that and hypergamous? Of course not. There are 3.5-4 billion women on this earth. They don't all act exactly the same way. But based on my dealings with women, and I've lived in all four corners of the United States, they all operate under the same set of guides, principles, circumstances. You can't be, and I like what you said in your other video. When a woman rejects you, when she turns you down, you can't take it personally, because, dude, a lot of times it's not really about you. You might have talked to her at the wrong time. She might be going through something. It could be any number of things. But I think a lot of guys take female rejection personally, because it is sort of a blow to the ego. And I think what men need to understand is that, yes, we talk about women and what not to do and this and that and the other, but if the roles were reversed, if we as men had the same number of opportunities to cheat as women do now, the numbers would be lopsided inversely. That's just the way it is. It's opportunity.
Sure. I mean, you think about this. Number one, there's a reason why when a man and a woman have finished their fun, there's a reason why the guy can't continue.
Right.
You know, there's some downtime. That's by nature. There's a reason for that, because otherwise a man would finish up and be like, next, and he'd roll on. There's for a reason nature's put in a, all right, dudes, simmer down, relax. Okay. And number two, you can take a very powerful, successful, attractive, athletic man. He can walk into a bar and just walk up to a strange woman and say, hey, you want to go out in the car and do it? And a woman will look and she'll look at him and say, wow, he's really attractive, but you're creepy. Get away from me. And now maybe he will have, maybe that will hit home for a couple of women, but more than likely he could walk down the line and most women would be like, you're a creep. Get away from me. Now reverse it. A woman can walk into a bar. She'll walk up to the first guy and says, hey, and if she's same level of attractiveness, or even a lot less, she says, hey, you want to go out in the car? The bad guy'd be like, yeah, I got 15 minutes. First dude.
That's all right.
For a 15 minute kill. Yeah, let's go do it. Don't tell anybody. And matter of fact, even if she's only halfway decent, he may do it. So the old way used to be that women were the gatekeepers of the intimacy and men were the gatekeepers of relationships. And when it was hard to access a woman for a man, the women had control. She said, hey, I've got all these guys wanting to be with me, but I'm only going to let one be with me. So I'm going to make sure it's the best guy and he's going to have to commit to me and provide to me, and then I'll be with him. And that's when women had both control of the bedroom and the relationships. Now what's happened today is women are like, free food. Anybody, if you're good enough looking and we have a good time, come on over. You said a couple of funny things on Tinder and you're good looking, come on over to my place. And so these upper echelon of men have all the choices in the world. So now there is no more relationships. Now those guys are plowing through it, and the remaining 70 or 80% of men that normally would have been with a girl that's equal to his level are kind of left out, because women are sleeping way up, because guys are like, everything's free. I can get access to everything. So the whole market is up on its head. And so I think until women chill out and start making better choices, their own casualness and their own ability to sleep up will make men never settle down.
I agree. I would agree. Paul Hobbs with the $5 super chat says, I started following both of you for about a year ago and it has helped me out in so many aspects of life. I was able to get out of a toxic marriage. Thank you very much for that, Paul. MJ Roberts with the $20 super chat says, I love both of you guys. Donovan, you taught me game, and Joker, you inspired me to learn to be a self-fulfilled man. This is both sides of the strength coin. Keep it up and going. Appreciate that, MJ Roberts, $20. Clue with the $5 super chat says, your in-studio one-on-one setup is king. Yes, thank you very much for that. Brandon Robinson with the $10, I guess, super chat, super sticker, whatever the case may be. Who knows? I don't know. I don't think I figured that out. Okay, so real quick before we get into this, how's your ankle? Because I think you broke your ankle. It was about the size of a grapefruit. What's that looking like these days?
It looks good. Yeah, it was pretty. I don't know if it was a full break. It's still actually tender if I press on the side of it. But I've gotten out, and one of the reasons why I actually shave is because I can easily tell my body fat based on my face.
Huh.
Easier than my waist and everything else. So I can look in the mirror and go, all right, I got a little bit more loose. So I shaved it. I'm out running. I'm only doing about a mile before my ankle starts bothering me, but I'll get back up to my half marathons and stuff like that pretty soon. So I'm surviving it, a little bit of downtime, but in the meantime, doing strength training and kind of getting back to it, but I'll be fine.
Good stuff. Good to hear. Sam Whiskey, $3 super chat says, commission sales prepares you for rejection. I could not agree more. Okay, let's get into this. When I first showed my face on YouTube, or at first I started on SoundCloud, then I moved on YouTube. I didn't show my face until, I think this is almost the 3-year anniversary of me showing my face was 2 days ago. It was September 4th. It was Labor Day of 2017, so just over 3 years ago. I showed my face for the very first time because people were telling me, this guy Donovan isn't real. He's probably fat, lives in his mother's basement, blah, 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 blah. So then I decided to show my face. I get a little more headway. Then people started saying, Donovan, all these experiences you talk about with all these Vegas strippers and this and that and a third, it's absolutely not real. You're fake. You're a fraud. Blah, 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 blah. Your girl is probably fat, this and that and the other. And so I started showing my receipts. I plowed this girl. I plowed that girl. This is what my girl looks like now. This is what she does, et cetera, et cetera. You ran into the same thing. You had guys saying, Joker, you talk all this stuff about all this experience with women you had. You've been with the wrong women. You don't know what you're talking about. You can't advise men about women because we don't know how experienced you are with women. And then you put out the video about what you learned working for a gentleman's club. What got my attention, the first thing that got my attention is that it was in Garner, North Carolina. Doc's in the
middle of nowhere.
Dude, I think we had this conversation the first time we were on the air, is we probably, in 1994, I think that's the time, I think you said you started at Dockside Dolls.
Yeah, it was probably, 95, 96, maybe. But I think it was around 95, 96.
So you were working at the strip club. I was a freshman in college. So we were definitely in North Carolina at the same time. I worked in the RTP for a while when I was in my late 20s. In my mid to late 20s. So there's definitely some crossover there. So talk to me about why you decided to do this particular video. Was it the same reason I decided to start showing receipts, or did you just want to tell men about your experiences?
Well, I think a little bit of both. And I won't say who, but somebody decided to do a video kind of trashing me a little bit. And I said, you know, okay, that's fair. But, number one, I wanted to say, hey, look, just because we always, you know, guys that are saying, I'm not chasing tail, I'm just kind of doing my own thing. For some reason, when a guy says, hey, I've been doing that for 2 years, kind of doing my own thing, everybody assumes, well, it's because you can't get anything, or you've gotten blown out so badly that they've just given up.
Right.
Nothing's worse than a dude that just gives up. Loser. And the big thing that I wanted to show is that, number one, a lot of guys that have, quote, given up, we haven't given up. We're just not dedicating any energy to the chase. Now, if someone were to set it in my lap, if the opportunity came up,
right?
Yeah, we're still going to take advantage of it. And the other thing is, if I'm going to talk about the experiences that I've had in my past and why I think women act a certain way or do a certain thing, I have to kind of show that I'm coming from somewhere with knowledge.
Right.
And so I said, okay, well, the pictures that I tossed up, those were just within the last couple of years. You know, the the very attractive or more attractive or younger or whatever women from my past, that was when flip phones were, you know, the flip opener, the Nokia that didn't even have a camera on them. And you're not walking into these clubs with like a Nikon, you know, D90 snapping.
Yeah, right.
So my point was, look, at 44, here's a bunch of photos of 20 somethings that I've dated. And when I was 20 something, they were twice as good look. And so quit calling me out on this stuff. Now that you've seen it, I'm not some basement dweller. Let's talk about female nature. Let's talk about how I know this stuff. Let's talk about how I know that if you have a ton of partners and it's easy for you, it can mess your head up and put you in a dark place. So yeah, a lot of it was number one, shut up. I've been there. Some receipts, as you say.
There you go.
And number two, all right, here's my past experience. This is how I know what I'm talking about. Now let's move away from that. Let's actually talk about the issue at hand. Been there, done there, seen it. Okay, let's move on. And that's kind of why I was putting that out there as well.
Listen, man, I think now you have, listen, not that you didn't have credibility before, but anyone who doubted what you say is the truth based on experience, if they haven't crossed over yet, then they were never going to cross over anyway. If any man said Joker doesn't have experience, blah, 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 the detail with which you told that story. And I remember I watch you every morning when I lift weights. And I was like, dude, this dude is saying exactly what I said back in episode 363, strip club game. And by the way, that's not available on YouTube, because if I put that back on YouTube, everybody's getting shut down. We already know that.
Right.
But I wanted, this is the reason why I wanted to bring you on, because spending time in a, now my experience and your experience was different. You actually worked at the strip club. I had an in with the strip club. I became friendly with the bouncers, the DJ, and eventually the owners of the strip club. So I could waltz in there anytime I want. Talk to me about, or tell my audience just really quickly, how it is you ended up working at Dockside Dolls in Garner, North Carolina. How exactly did that happen?
Well, you know, of all things, it was, I was actually living in Florida, and I was 22, 23, something like that. And a friend of mine lived in North Carolina, and she, of all things, we'd been lifelong friends since like grade school. She said, oh, North Carolina, there's technology. 'Cause I wanted to get into computers. Right. She said, there's technology. There's RTP, IBM, all these other companies are up here. She ought to come up here. So I said, well, I was working part-time at a jewelry store down here, and I fell into that. It was like, hey, we'll pay you $10 an hour plus commission if you want to sell jewelry. I'm like, in 1994 or whatever it was, that's good money.
Hell yeah.
and especially when people were like, oh yeah, I get $1,500 in commission. I said, I'm in. So I learned the trade down here. I went up there and switched companies, but it wasn't my calling. I wanted to get into IBM or some technology company in IT. But I'd stop by this club and I'd shoot pool and I'd have a couple of cold ones and, you know, flirt with the girls. But I was pretty successful in dating. I wasn't a bad looking dude. I had game. I mean, this is back when game mattered. You didn't put up a picture on a Tinder profile and hope for a swipe. If you were comfortable and you could spit some game and you were funny and you were interesting, you could, you know, you could talk a girl out of her clothes.
Right.
Back when that still existed. And so, so I'd go in there and I did go on a couple of dates with a couple of the girls, I maybe with a waitress. And then I just happened to say to the bartender, 'cause he was hustling one night and he said, oh, I'm getting killed. We lost our bar back. I said, if you need anybody, let me know. He's like, hey, you know, I know you've hung out here for 6 months or whatever it was. Sure, man. Like, come on, we'll talk to Richie. And within a couple of days I had a job, and that started bar back. And then eventually he left on to other things. And then I became the bartender, and then the DJ took a little bit too much nose candy. And, you know, and that he took himself out. Like, he partied too hard on a weekend and never came back. So next thing you know, it's, hey, we need a DJ, and it's easier to get a bartender. And again, we know you and your voice seems to be okay. And so go for it. And that was the next 5 years of my life.
Wow, man, that is fascinating. I like the story that you told about how you became the DJ. And that to me, I don't know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that was the catalyst for you being at this club for so long. So just like you said, the DJ, you know, did a little bit too much, you know, booger sugar, ended himself. And there you were at the DJ booth. You said you didn't have any experience, but he said, listen, man, I'll show you how it works. And off you went. How did, and we'll get into the nitty gritty, but how did your life change when you became the DJ at the strip club?
Well, when I was in the military, you know, walking around in military fatigues in a military town, And again, if you're, you know, if you're not too bad looking and you can spit a little game, getting getting dates, getting some activity, even if it's a one night of activity, is not extremely difficult. So from the age of 18 through 22, 23, I had learned women. I'd learned the game of how to pick them up, but I didn't know what attracted them. All I knew is that if you talk to them and you're funny and you're decent enough, you can get in and you can start the conversation. Right. You've got it all figured out. And I had no idea about hypergamy and selection and body language and, you know, if you're playing hard to get and throwing, you know, keeping her at distance and not letting her get to, all that just kind of came natural through trial and error. When I started working for the club, the thing that I found out is these guys came in, they were good looking. They had money. They were successful. This is the type that you think a dancer would say, wow, this is the guy I want to catch. And you think they'd be all over those guys and they would, this would be the girl that wants to date this successful man. And then when he leaves the club, she's in tow. And now she's a wife with, you know, attached to a doctor or successful. I thought for sure these girls were like kind of hanging out for a fish to catch. And when he came in, she'd hook on and go, but that wasn't the truth. The funny thing is they would still milk those guys for money.
That's right.
They'd be nice to them and they'd fish them in. But in the meantime, the guy that came to pick her up at the end of the shift to take her home was a 23-year-old loser that they complained about. He didn't have any money. Some of them dealt, some of them didn't.
Of course. But
the guy usually wasn't too bad looking and he treated her like crap. And I'm like, you know, this was the age where I said, I don't understand why women will go with a guy that treats them like crap, that has no money. And the woman is supporting, like you couldn't get more of a loser. But you got winners trying to pick up these women and they're not going with the winners. They just use them and then go right back to the loser.
Right.
And so I started to really learn women's nature, how they think, how they do, how they act, why they do this, because a lot of times they talk about it. You know, you're in the DJ booth, she's complaining about her awful boyfriend. And I say, why don't you get a different boyfriend? Oh, because, you know, he's interesting or he's, they just come up with everything. So that's why I learned female nature. I got 18 million lifetimes compressed into 5 years.
Wow, man. Listen, I'm going to go back to what you said. And this is what I always tell my guys when it comes to strip club game. And I think this relates. And this relates to one of your stories. Never become a customer.
Never pay a penny.
Never pay a penny. Once a customer, always a customer. And once you're a customer, you will never get to do anything with her, intimately wise or otherwise, without paying her.
Yep.
I tell guys, don't pay for a lap dance. Don't pay for a private dance.
Don't buy a drink. Nothing.
Right. Pay for drinks at the bar. Or if your target is another, if your target is a stripper XYZ, get it from stripper ABC. But you don't even do that, because the minute money changes hands, you will never get to spend time with these girls without paying them. Talk to me, Joker, about what you saw. You saw these high status, rich, some good looking guys. But it's almost like these strippers had the old montage, why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free?
Exactly.
If a stripper decides to cash out early, which, oh, by the way, Joker, that's the right thing to do. Listen, you're young, you're pretty, your sexual market value is never going to be as high as it is now, or at least for the next couple of years, maybe. You cash out early, you get married to a guy with money, you live happily ever after.
Yep.
But women are self-destructive by nature, number one. Number two, they don't make sound financial decisions. That's not what they do. In a stripper's mind, she says, well, wait a minute. Why would I just tie myself? Why would I hitch myself to one wagon when I can just hitch myself to all of the wagons and just keep getting the residual money? The right move is to get with. Listen, if you get proposed to, say yes. Strippers never marry these guys, ever. They only decide to get married, like most women, when they are in their 30s and past their prime. So talk to me about what you learned in terms of money changing hands, because this was a very interesting story that you told about customers about the regular customers that they had, only because, of course, they had money and the strippers didn't even like these guys.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I'll let me speak to this first. The interesting thing about women being selective is, imagine that you have a perfect, delicious steak set down in front of you. It's never going to be better.
Right.
But maybe you want a little salt, a little pepper, little something on the side, little garnish. A woman will say, I'm going to wait because I want to get the garnish or the salt, the pepper. I'm not going to eat the steak while it's hot and it's juicy and it's perfect. I'm going to wait. I just want a little, add a little something to it.
Perfect.
Well, she waits And in the meantime, it's starting to get a little bit older. But she says, well, I know the steak's getting a little bit older, but it's still not quite what I want. And so she waits. And then a couple days later, it's starting to get moldy. But she's still waiting for the salt and the pepper, even though the value of the steak now is inedible. What I mean by this is when a woman's at 23, 24, 8, 19, 20, whatever, whenever she's at her prime in looks, her prime without damage of endless guys and endless relationships and endless everything, that's when she has the most to offer and she should get the best she can get. But today, that best she can get, it's not quite good enough. So I'm going to wait and I'm going to play the market and I'm going to wait. And the longer she waits, the more her value drops because she's had more partners and she's had more dates and she's got more problems and she's had bad and she starts bringing on baggage. Maybe she has a kid in the meantime, maybe. And eventually she's waiting for this perfect guy, but now she's 33 and the steak's cold. It's got a little mold on the side of it. But she's still looking for the guy that was still a little bit too good for her at 23. And she's so now you see women coming forward on these dating apps that are like, look, I have two kids and I'm 33 and you better like, you know, you better like what I call big and beautiful or big, bold and beautiful or whatever. God. You better like this. And but I know what I have to offer. Well, what you think you're offering was your 23-year-old self. Now what you offer is your 33-year-old self, but you're waiting for somebody your 23-year-old self couldn't get.
Right.
So that that's the whole problem with all of this. So a lot of these girls in the club, when a guy comes in and spends money, instantly he's looked at as a resource.
Yes.
But remember, the moment that you're looked at as a resource, you're not looked at as you're saying to the woman, I value you more than I value me. Here's money to pay attention to me. The minute you do that, you're out. Not only does she see you as a resource, but she sees you as less attractive. Mm-hmm. Now, when you go into a club and you're talking to a girl, she goes, you want to dance and you look, do the old up and down and you go, not really my type. I mean, you're fine, honey. It's nothing to do with you. You're just not really my type. Why? Well, I don't, you know, I don't really know you. I mean, like, I don't know what, and you start feeding a little bit of line.
Yep.
And then they realize, all right, this guy's judging me and he's not into me.
Right.
There's something here that you portray, even if you're faking it, you could be a 23-year-old college student with $4 to your name. But you're portraying like you're selective and that you have choice and you now need to validate yourself to me. And this is where you get, hey, I got a free lap dance the other day. What? How? Because I didn't pay her and I told her I didn't think she was very good at it and she wanted to prove herself to me. And guys hear that and they go, bull, don't lie. Don't make up stories. And you go, hey, you got to know how women think. And the minute that you put yourself on a pedestal, and it's not by saying I am, you better respect me. No, right.
Do it indirectly.
Yeah. You just kind of have to put that challenge out. And if she goes, well, fine, you didn't deserve it anyway. You're like, bye. And you move on because you have nothing to lose.
This is what goes to show, Joker. And so many guys, and I know you know this, but so many guys don't understand this very, very simple concept. Hot girls, strippers, cam girls, the nines and tens of the world, they're people too.
Yeah. Insecure people.
Oh, God, listen, nines and tens don't compare themselves to sixes and sevens. They compare themselves to nines and tens.
Yep.
I think nines and tens sort of have like an automatic body dysmorphia complex because, dude, I've dated some dimes in my day. I'm talking nut, dude, even her toes were pretty and constantly preening. I don't like my nose, my lips, my butt. I'm like, are you serious? Like,
and they fall apart. They fall apart the minute you go, have you put on 5 pounds?
Oh, dude. Oh my God. Then they want to starve themselves for 48 hours and run 48 miles on a treadmill. It's incredible.
Yeah.
But what you said is spot on. Girls are people too. And this, that was a pure example of that. Out in the real world, if you supplicate to women, if you take them out on dates, if you show them that their value is higher than yours by giving them your attention for free, she's not going to value your attention.
Right.
She's going to spend time with you unless you are taking her out on dates or paying. On the strip club side, it's exactly what you just did. You look at the stripper, you're not really my type. Hey, no offense, you're just not really my type. All of a sudden now she wants to what? Boys and girls, qualify herself to you. He doesn't think I'm good enough. You know what? I'm going to give him a free lap dance and I'm going to show him that I'm just as good as every other girl in here. And it works exactly the same way in the real world. When you make women qualify themselves to you, this is when they act the best. Because, and again, just like you said, women always say, well, I know what I bring to the table. They say they know what they bring to the table, but they know that they're really just nothing but a good looking shell of a human. This isn't to say that girls are useless and this and that and the other, but hot girls for the most part are useless because they've never had to be useful. And I want to get your take on this. One of my regular listeners, his name is Big Brandon. He gave the perfect analogy. So Big Brandon's been a bouncer at a strip club. And I think he probably does it on the side as well. He said the other day he was talking to some girls about male value versus female value. And the girls are like, oh, well, I know what I bring to the table. One of the girls asked, why don't high value guys commit to super good looking girls? Okay, she can't cook, she can't clean, just like Cardi B said in WAP, I don't cook, I don't clean, but I still got the ring. So why is it not enough for high value guys to have a good looking girl? And here's what he told them. Imagine I buy you a Rolls Royce, I think it was a Falcon or something. I'm not a Rolls Royce car guy, but let's just say I buy you a Lamborghini Aventador, 2021 Lamborghini Aventador, but it has no engine, doesn't run. That is exactly the same as the hot girl who brings nothing but the table other than the three holes she has in her body to give you pleasure. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think one of the things that people need to understand is that everybody will be with somebody else for the short term. I mean, you know, a good looking guy finds a good looking girl. They want to hook up. That's great. What do men bring to the table? Men usually bring their looks and finances. And why do supermodels usually date rich men? Because they can.
Right.
Rich men date supermodels because they can. The only difference is that men's value appreciates over time. Very rarely, unless a man is stupid with his money, a man that has a lot of money usually ends up having more money because money makes money. You invest it well, it does well. His value is always going to go up. A woman's value, if all she has to do is bring forward her looks, that's a depreciating asset. I mean, I don't look as good as I did at 24. Neither is a woman that was 24. So most guys say, well, I don't want to bring my money, which is growing. I don't want to bring my power, which is growing. I don't want to bring my knowledge, my intellect, everything is up for me until I'm dead or until I retire, where all you bring is something that's going down.
That's it.
And so you don't go, when you buy a car and drive it off the lot, there's 20% off the top like that. Now go tell me that Ferrari that was the, you know, Magnum PI, the old TV show. I don't remember what it used to.
Oh, dude, yeah. It was a Ferrari Testarossa. It was a Ferrari Testarossa. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. A Ferrari Testarossa right now will get its pants beaten off of it by a Ford pickup truck today.
Yes.
Because, you know, it only had 285 horsepower and it sounded really fast, but it really wasn't that fast compared to today's engines. So there's the cream of the crop, best of the best in 1987. And today, worthless because things change. So I think men are saying, look, I have access to beautiful women. Right. I have access to intimacy with beautiful women. And if I get tired of redhead, I get a brunette.
There you go.
I get a Latina. I get a pretty Asian girl. I have all these choices. And women keep giving it up. They keep giving it up with. And then when they say, well, why don't you want to settle down for me? A really good, successful guy will turn around and show a bevy of women waiting in line to be with him. Now, in the meantime, women can say, yes, but look at all the men I have waiting for me.
Yes.
And say, okay, how many of them are quality? How many of them have a lot of money? How many of them are super successful? How many of them are powerful? How many? Well, a lot. There's a lot of them. Okay. But how many other women are also in line? And so... A good way to think of it is a woman may have 20 suitors that might be great suitors, but those 20 guys don't have just one woman waiting on them. They have 80 women waiting on them. So they're not going to settle down. So until women realize, look, you want to come forward and you want to get yourself a quality guy, you're going to have to make some sacrifices because you're shooting for the stars. You got to land on the moon. And number two, you have to realize that if you really want a really good guy, they have a lot of choices. So
that's
if one chooses you, hey, understand, maybe this is the time to come back down to earth and say, you know what? He is good enough. I'm a 7. I don't deserve a 12. I deserve a 7 or an 8.
And why don't girls get that? Why don't
because what happens, and I've done videos on this before. What happens is, let's say I'm a 7 girl.
Okay.
And I go to the bar, I go to the club, guys knocking back a few, right? There's a reason why you say there's a difference as an easy lay and there's a difference with a challenge, right? Guys like challenges. I mean, if you're a 10 and you want to be challenging, great. Guys will put in a little bit of work
sure.
in the past, but now guys are like, well, I could do a lot of work and work hard and maybe be with this 10. Or I can just walk up to the bar and hang out, and sevens come up to me all day long.
And don't have to try.
They don't even have to try. So what's happening is the seven girl will go up to a 10, and the 10's like, eh, easy pickings, man. Like, I'll take her home. We'll have a night of fun, a week of fun, a month of fun even. Right. But he may be doing that with her and three others. So now instead of getting one 10, he gets four sevens. And then the seven says, this is what I deserve. I have a 10 right now, and he's into me, and we're being physical together. And she gets used to that. I mean, there's a reason why you nickname them alpha widows.
That's right.
And then so she has this fun for the 10, and then he moves on because he gets tired of her and has three or four more sevens to choose from, because he's only going to really marry a 10 if he ever does. But he'll have his fun with a lot of sevens. And so he moves on. And then she says, well, the last guy was a 10, so let's see if I can get another 10. And she will, but it'll only be short term again, and it'll only be for intimacy in the bedroom stuff. And so she goes through this, and as she ages, she gets used to these 10s, and over time, the 10s become 9s, the 9s become 8s, the 8s become 7, but she still thinks she deserves the 10. And then when it's time to marry, and she's 33, 34, 35, she's now went from a 7 to a 5. She may have a kid by one of these guys, but she's still wandering around waiting for that 10, and he's never coming back. Now he's not even sleeping with her. Now he's not even looking at her, and she's invisible. And it goes downhill from there. You haven't seen anything yet. Wait till 26, when these 28-year-olds that are now are 35 going, but I'm powerful, and I'm feminine, and I'm beautiful. And you missed your window. There are going to be so many crazy cat ladies in 10 years, dude. You don't even know. We are not even close to that.
Dude, listen, man. I often think about what the dating market is going to be like in a half a decade.
Oh, the young men today are going to clean up. Oh,
dude, it's going to be a feeding frenzy. It's going to be like shooting fish in a barrel. And this is something I also say, Joker. Women, strippers included, don't understand that just because he wants to go to bed with you does not mean he wants to commit to you. But here's the thing. When a girl is young and hot, 22, 23 years old, and a guy wants to go to bed with her, he probably wants to commit to her as well because she is young and hot. Yep. So it's just like you said, that 23-year-old thinks, well, hell, these guys are going to be around forever. I'm never going to hit the attraction wall. Then at 33, she's waiting for the guys that she had opportunities with when she was 23. And when that doesn't happen, then she goes through the grief. She starts to grieve, and there's denial. Then she starts to play the blame game.
You know my favorite. Why are all these 45-year-olds not dating a woman that's my age? Why do they always chase that? They're insecure. They can't handle a real woman, a grown woman, a woman with her life together. I'm successful. I'm a lawyer. We don't care.
No, we don't care about that.
We don't care.
Listen, this is what I say about women who say, you can't handle a strong woman. Sure, I can. Oh, listen, well, here's the thing. I can handle a strong woman, but I can handle a bratty kid. Doesn't mean I want to, right? Who in the world wants to handle a woman? Like, listen, men are not hard to please, Joker. We're very simple creatures. Dude, just be feminine. Cook for us. Make sure our place is clean. Give us a little nookie. Give us a little space to recharge our batteries, and we're good. But women are nag, 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 nag. They think they have to be in charge of everything, and that's where things go completely off the rails.
Well, you know, the thing is, going back to like the clubs, the guy that gives the money up easy, he's a mark.
There you go.
All he's good for is his money, because he's shown his value is lower. What happens when a woman gives it up easy? She's a mark. She's giving it out easy, and she's lost her value. And so now the woman will use the guy for the money because he gave it up easy, and he obviously is not a high value man. A woman that gives it up easy, well, guess what? She gave it out easy. She'll be used for that, and she's shown herself not to be a high value woman.
There you go.
I mean, so the guy that never gets any action but spends all the money, it's his fault. The woman that has all the action and never gets a guy long term, it's her fault. We may use each other for different reasons, but the end result is you have to. And I've had women email me, my female viewers say, tell me what's going on. Why can't I keep a man? And I said, okay, have you secured the relationship before you secured the bedroom? No,
you're done.
That's it.
You want a long-term relationship while you're young. Understand that all these great guys will try to sleep with you. And when you're married and 33 with kids, these guys are still going to try to sleep with you because that's what men do. But if you want to have a long-term relationship, you could say, I only want a committed relationship. And so, and then we'll talk about, and I'm not saying like you have to be like married before you do it, but I'm just saying like, so, hey, let's get this ironed out. Let's go 3-5 dates. establish we're going to like each other, establish we're going to be exclusive, and then and then get to it. The problem is when you look at female dating strategy and some of these other sites on Reddit, what the women are doing, because they're so messed, women are saying that to one guy like, oh, we have to wait, and I want to take things slow.
I really like you.
Wait, yeah. So what are women doing? They're doing that with a guy that's of value. And then in the meantime, they're sleeping with other dudes behind his back. So they can't even say no for a short period of time. And then are becoming wise to this. So now if you make a guy wait, he doesn't see that you're quality. Even if you are, even if you're one of the good ones, a guy will say, I don't know, maybe she is quality. So all they're doing is trashing their own reputation. Yeah. No man wants to buy. It's a buyer's market right now, but no one's buying. And all they're doing is hurting themselves. And I wish women would see that, because if they brought their level of reality down to where a 7 says, I can sleep with that 10, or I can date this 7.
Right.
I can date the 7. Or a woman that's a 5 or a 4 says, I can date this 5 or 4 guy. And he'll treat me well because he's happy to have a girlfriend. All of a sudden, the market regulates itself out. Guys are back with girls that are the same level. Everybody's dating. Everybody's marrying. Long term, some guys are playing the market, some women, but it levels everything. As long as women keep saying, I'm valued because men sleep with me. No one's going to be happy.
Listen, that's the problem. And we just talked about that. Women think that because men want to sleep with them, then they must also want to commit. He doesn't want your opinion on astrophysics. He wants your backside. That's the way that works.
Right. Now,
something else. A male version of an easy girl, I guess I'll try to keep it clean for YouTube. A male version of a girl who is easy is a man who gives up resources, his time, his attention way too early.
A simp.
Women don't respect that. Right. Now, women will spend time with that guy. They will allow him to spend money on her and to simp for her and spend money on her, but they're never going to commit.
Right.
On the other side of that coin, women who give up their bodies too quickly don't get the respect from high-value men. Yes, he may sleep with her for a week, 2 weeks, maybe even a month, but at the end of the day, he's not going to commit because she gave up the goods too easily.
Right.
So word to the wise for both men and women. Men, if you want the respect of emails, if you want the respect of females, no free attention. You have to make her earn your attention, make her qualify herself to you. Ladies, if you want to lock down a high value man, quit giving it up on the first date. And you want to know something? Women will say, well, what if I don't give it up? And then he ends up leaving because I don't give it up. Well, guess what, baby girl? He didn't want a long-term relationship anyway.
And he was going to use you. And he was just going to use you anyway. So
it's all
shooting too high. You're shooting too high.
It's all the same, man. Women women are never in touch with reality. It's frustrating to say the least, but unfortunately, most of these women don't learn their lessons until it's too late.
Same thing with the guys, though.
Yeah.
These young men will say, well, I have a couple girls I follow on OnlyFans, but it's nice to have the girlfriend experience. Son, you're not getting a girlfriend experience. Oh. You're getting used. And it's better to be alone and learn to deal with life. You're never going to get mommy love. No woman is going to love you unconditional and baby through thick and thin. I'm here with you. And that's mommy love. It doesn't exist. Women say, I want a strong guy. I want a man that's going to lead the way. And if she doesn't, she wants to lead the way. That's not the woman you want to be with anyway. So a woman that wants a long-term relationship, that wants to be happy, that wants to have a good partner will understand a strong man has to lead the way. It's not a choice for us. You cannot get me in any relationship where I go, well, I used to be the man. But now she's the man, and I do whatever she says. Because the minute a woman's running the show, maybe she likes being empowered, but she doesn't respect you.
So
you have to be, and if that means you're going to be alone and never have a woman or a girlfriend or a wife or kids, then it is what it is.
You're
not going to be happy kowtowing to somebody that's going to run your life for you. You're just not. Those are the guys that say, honey, look, I've been really good and I made sure to mow the lawn for the last 6 months and I painted that. Can I buy a PlayStation 5? Don't be that guy. Be single. Be single. Buy whatever you want. Eat whatever you want to the world and just do your thing.
There's a PlayStation 5?
Yeah, it's just coming out. It's not my thing. I'm off consoles. I'm a computer guy. But the whole point is you don't want to be the oh, I was a good boy. And so I have a little chart here where she puts sticker for how many times I did the dishes. And when I've done it 10 times, I get a BJ. Like, what are you doing, dude?
Hell out of here with that. Oh, my God. You give me a BJ and I give you the privilege of doing this.
Well, I don't know if you'll find many in on that, but But the whole point is it's got to be a symbiotic relationship. But women are raised today to, girl, go to college and you sleep with the best looking men and get your degree and make the most money and get everything you want in life. And what women are at 28, 29, 30, what happens is they go, guys aren't paying attention to me anymore. Wait, you mean I have to work for another 35 years until I retire? And I owe $150,000 in school debt on my gender studies degree that I make 35, 40 grand a year. Holy crap.
What am I going to do?
Right. But when they look back to mom, it was like, what happened to you, mom? I went to college. I mean, I got a 2-year degree, but I met your father and he went in the military or whatever. And then when he got out and then he's worked every day since. What do you do? Well, I sit at home. I vacuum once a week. I do make sure the dishes and laundry are done. And I raise a kid and then I watch soap operas and I relax and I don't get fat. Like that's the biggest responsibility I have. They had an easy mode.
God almighty, dude.
Feminism is the best thing that ever happened to men.
Yeah. Now that I agree with.
It's the best thing that ever happened to men.
It is the best thing that's ever happened for men and the worst thing that ever happened for women. And you can actually invert those. That's for another day and time. Yep.
And women fight for it. That's the best part. I want feminine. Okay.
All right. You want it. You got it. But don't then turn around at 35 asking, where have all the good men gone? Oh, no, sweetie. Right. You had your chance 10 years ago. You decided to get involved in the girl power movement. So now you got to pay the price on the back end. That's the way that goes.
And the funny thing is to young men that say, well, but what about women in the workforce that are, you know, they have the better opportunities now, like a woman and a guy going for the same job. They give it to the woman. You know something, if this is an air conditioned tech job or an air conditioned human resources job where she makes 60 or 70 grand a year, I'll tell you now, those of you that haven't been there, it gets boring real quick because you're doing the social politics, you're doing all the office crap. Go get yourself a welding job, a plumbing job, an electrician job, a diesel repair job where you're working around other guys, welding music on full blast, laughing, having it up. You get your hands dirty, but at the end of the day, you accomplish something. And guess what? You're probably making six figures and you don't owe anybody a college degree. And at the end of the day, you're not spending for a wedding dress, a marriage, a new car for her
a new kitchen.
Yeah, you save all that money, man, you'd be retired by 45, going to Thailand and being with 22-year-old that will literally crawl on the ground just to lick your feet. And I wish I were kidding about that. But you go to some of these small towns in Thailand where you're a decent looking guy that's in shape, rolling in with $100,000, you might as well have $1 million.
Wow.
But guys don't know this because at 25, your hormones are screaming, go out there and get women. And the truth is, no, they ease off a little bit. So when you're 45, it's not the screaming anymore. It's kind of a whisper. Like, dude, you probably need to get out there and get some action. But you've managed to squirrel away the resources, and now you've got the knowledge of what you need to do. You go to Southeast Asia, and you can retire there. There are expats that do it all the time. And they're like, I got a girl that washes my clothes and sleeps with me. And I got a girl that cooks and sleeps with me. And I got a girl. That's it. So you just have to understand you got to play the game the right direction.
Scott Graff with the $6 Super Chat says, buying a Corvette but no tires is like some female's ability. Very good observation. Alton Prayer says, with $10, I was a male exotic dancer for several years off and on, and everything you guys are saying is true. Great show. Appreciate that. Hum with the, oh, okay, well, that's the €3 super sticker. I guess that's the super sticker. I get that to say that. Clue, $5 says, I can, quote, handle eating dinner in the bathroom, but I have much better options in my house to eat food. Very good analogy there. Tyrone in sales with the $15 super chat says, L, I guess he meant to say lol. Ion Studios, $5 says, I've been waiting for this episode for what seems like forever. So glad to see these two of the men that taught me about women discussing these things. And there's actually another super chat that I got via, there we are. So Philip Shands sent me a donation via PayPal, $10, says, yes, whenever I see two Titans of the Manosphere collab, I got to throw in and show some love. Keep it up, Donovan and Joker. Thanks for the hard work. We're going to round third and head for home here. This has been a fantastic episode. The one story I remember, one of the many stories you told that I remember was you were talking to one of the working girls there at the strip club. You're shooting pool, having a good time. All of a sudden, one of her regulars comes in, right? And so she looks at you. She kind of sighs, oh, that's one of my regulars. Then when she turns around, she's a completely different person. Hey, how are you? Kiss, kiss. I missed you, blah, blah, blah. talk about what that showed you in terms of a woman's duality with regards to her personality when you're a provider, as opposed to maybe someone that she's aroused by.
Yeah, and the thing is, a lot of people will say, what about players? Men do the same thing. Men will do that. They'll be sitting there with their buddies and like, all right, watch this, man. She's pretty cute. And they'll go over and like, listen, and they start talking smooth. And they start talking about their Lamborghini that's in the shop. So they're using their mom's Escort for the night, or, you know, a Ford Taurus or whatever it is. Guys right. play the game too. Guys play it up. Guys lie. And so it's not just a one way thing. But I think the thing that surprised me the most is because women get resources out of it.
Yes.
Is that the guys that think, man, if I just spend enough money on her, if I just hang in there long enough, I know she's dating this other guy, but he's a loser. And yeah, he's sleeping with her every night. And yeah, he treats her awful, but I'm showing her that I'm a provider and I'm a good guy and I'm sweet and I'm caring. She'll eventually realize how great I am and leave him to be with me. And the answer to that is no. You've already shown by spending money, by you've put her up on the pedestal, she will always have more value than you. So yes, you could be the nicest guy in the world, the greatest guy. Spend the most money, lavish, treat her well. You're just an asset to her. The only way that you will ever have a woman attracted to you, genuinely attracted to you, is if you are a higher value male.
Right.
Would a guy that's a six roll out and sleep with a two? Yeah, some of them will, I guess. But if it was, would you roll out and sleep with a two and date a two so the world knew you were with a two? Men would be like, no, man, I'm not walking around with some dog. Because she's low value, she's unattractive, and everybody will know it, and it's embarrassing for me. So what's a woman that's going to date a provider, Mr. Nice Guy, that's giving her all the money? The way she looks at you is the same way a guy would look at it, too, is he puts me on a pedestal, he spends all this money with me. Would I want to be seen around with a guy that's fawning and kissing my backside and thinking that I'm God's gift to everybody? He's got nothing. He's low. I'm so way much better than him because he's put me on such a big pedestal. She'll never see you any different. You didn't put her up on a pedestal. You dug a hole and buried yourself in it. It's your own fault. So the way that you attract women is you say, and this is what young guys don't understand. Hey, you want to hang out sometime? No, you're ugly. Okay. And cool. You just move on. You're done. Now, if a girl comes up to you and says, what do you think of my new hair? You go, it's all right. Like you can't, they're fishing for compliments.
Yes.
They want attention. And interestingly enough, the less attention you give them, the better of a chance you have to get them.
You go, man.
It's opposite. People don't, because a young man's like, man, I pay attention to her and I answer every text and I'm right there for her. Oh, she doesn't care.
And it's the strip club. Listen, it's the same in the strip club.
Times 10.
Dude, yes, the less attention. Listen, man. And it is a shame that it's like this. I always have to, and I don't want to call it a disclaimer, but of course, you know, when I get my, you know, female haters and this and that, I always have to let them know. I always have to let them know. I don't like that it's like this. I don't like that I have to treat a girl like absolute dog poop for her to treat me like a king. I do not like this. I don't want it to be this way, but we are men. We adjust and adapt, and we do what our environment dictates us to do in order to survive in today's current dating market. Men are not naturally genetically predisposed to just treat women like garbage. We have to, it's almost like we have to literally untrain ourselves to be able to be successful with women. Like everything we've been told is a lie, right? So your mothers and your sisters and all these girls, so be nice to her, bring her flowers, pay attention to her, answer every text or call her back. I guess when you and I were younger, there were no cell phones back then, but you have to do this and that. Then when we get older, we figure out it is quite the opposite. I didn't want to have to become Donovan Sharp. I didn't. I don't like having to be an a-hole to my girl or whatever girl I'm dating or banging to get good treatment out of her. It is the same as these strippers. The more attention you pay to them, the more you will have to pay. Explain to the audience why that is similar to girls in the outside world. Because a lot of guys, like I said, they think that strippers are otherworldly beings. No, strippers are people too. They burp, they fart, they eat, and they shit just like the rest of us. If they fart, it stinks. If they don't put on deodorant, their armpits stink. If they don't shave, their legs are hairy. Explain to men explain to these men that need to understand hot girls, cam girls, OnlyFans girls are literally just the same as every other human being walking around.
I would say that they're actually more needy. A regular, you know, your everyday girl doesn't need outside validation. You know, if she's a normal, well-adjusted, healthy, good girl, yeah, she likes attention. That's why she puts pictures on Facebook and has friends. And we all need, or at least most people, need some sort of healthy interaction with other people. And it makes you feel good when somebody says, I like you and I like spending time with you and I think you're wonderful. The more selfies, the more plastic, the more makeup, yep. The more, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. What they're saying is, I'm empty. I'm unhappy. I'm sad. I don't feel good about myself. So I need other people's attention and validation to make me feel good. What happens is when you withhold that, and you don't even necessarily have to withhold it on purpose. Right. If you just have other goals in your life, like I don't think you have to be mean or hate on a woman to get her attention. What I think you have to do is just not give her attention, not make her an importance in your life, because in truth, she shouldn't be that important to you unless you're in a serious relationship. But if you're first getting to know somebody, why do you care? I don't know you. So in the club, or in whether it's a dance club, whether it's on Facebook, whether it's OnlyFans, whether it's these nightclubs, you have to look at it realistically and say, other than her beauty, do I really care? And the more you say, no, I really don't care, then the better off you are. And in the club, their job is to extract resources from you. That's literally their job. And so the easier you make that, the easier their job is. The harder you make that, the harder their job is. And they may give up and go talk to another guy who gives up the money easy. Well, you saved money, but you're still sitting there looking at the pretty girls. Yep. And if you don't give up the resources at all, but you're a regular, they'll find they know, okay, he's not going to spend any money, but he is interesting and he is funny. Yes. And he is not bad looking. I'll sit down and talk with him and get to know him. And then when the guys come in, I'll, just like it used to happen to me, oh, I had a really good time, I got to go to work. And you go, yeah, hey, I know, man. If you get bored, come see me. Oh, and good. Before you know it, I know 6 or 7 of the girls in there. Now, a lot of guys try this because of the pickup game and all that stuff came out. So now all guys want to go in the clubs and never spend any money. And the women will just say, screw you, I'm going to the back room and I'm not even going to deal with you. So this may not work anymore. But the whole point is, if there's a girl that you like and you want to get to know her, keep it chill. Like, say a couple of words with her, but don't fawn. Just be realistic about it and don't put any value in the interaction until there's time to have value in it. The best case scenario should be you're talking to somebody and she looks at you and says, you are the ugliest, baldest, oldest, shortest, whatever dude I've ever seen. And you go, okay. And that really should be where you're at with this. The minute you're like, well, you're way too far invested. Like, you've got to let it. And if you do that with everything in your life, I lost my job today. That sucks. Right. Another job. Oh man, I got in a car accident. Got to wait for the insurance. I'm going to have to take a bus for the week. That sucks. Anyway, as long as you go through life with that, number one, you're stress-free. There's a reason why I don't have millions of wrinkles at 48 years old. There's a reason why I sleep very well at night. Get your money in order. Understand things are going to happen. Understand women have value, but not that much value.
Not that much, right.
And when you go through life that way, you don't care. You just, nothing bothers you. And as long as you have that outlook when it comes to women of, man, I asked this really hot chick out and she said no. Okay, and? Well, so I went and got a donut and took a nap. Like that, there's no reason to get wired up over this stuff.
Right.
Because it happens to everybody. Giselle Bundchen just called Tom Brady a lazy, bad dad, and she wished he'd get out and make more money. And the dude got hundreds of millions. It's like, really? Tom Brady, 6'2", good looking, used to be a model Tom Brady, you're going to complain? Look, if that's how women are, you got no chance. The best way you go is just live your life, enjoy it. And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen, but don't chase it. Don't put that as a life priority. You're making a mistake if you do.
The more you make a woman a priority, the less, you know, if
the less you're a priority.
Well, right. And it's interesting. The less you make her a priority, the more she makes you a priority. It's funny how that works. Yep. Tyrone in sales, $2 super chat says, didn't mean to put a message. Oh, okay. I guess you didn't mean it. Avid Hiker, $10. Appreciate that. Brant Bates, $10. I appreciate that. Shout out to Coach Greg Adams, who is in the chat. Also, John of Modern Life Dating is in the chat. Master Rebel with the 750 ISKs. I have no idea what that is, but I appreciate that. He says, my friend had a girlfriend that would constantly hit on me, even in front of him. I never understood it. I don't think she was even aware of it. Oh, she was aware of it.
Yep, and so was he, and he didn't do anything.
That's right, exactly. So, yeah, he was definitely aware of it. But, yeah, dude, his girl is out of pocket.
It was a test. It was all a test to see what he'd do about it.
That's right. And in that situation, by the way, if your girl starts flirting with her friends, you tell her, shit, we're leaving. We're out of here.
Not even we're leaving. I'm leaving. You're not even getting a ride home.
Oh, shit. Okay, I'm going to call you.
You're going to disrespect me in front by hitting on my friends?
Wow.
No, you're not even getting a ride home.
Dude, Joker, you're more of a savage than I am these days. You know, I think me being in a long-term relationship has made me a little soft.
You're soft, man.
I think I'm softening up. Jesus Christ, don't tell anybody. Breeze with the $5 Super Chat says, first Super Chat had to go to you guys. Thanks, Donovan and Joker, for keeping our heads on straight. Joker, when is Odd Man Out coming back?
My news channel will be coming back soon. I've been killing myself on this bus trying to get it done. I'm almost there, to be quite frank, with winter coming into Florida. It's now in the 80s. So now it's a little more comfortable to work on the bus. And also, I try to do things from a neutral standpoint, as in, like, here's the news today. But right now, I'm so angry that I just come on there and just rant. So I've said, let me just take a step away from that, because otherwise I'll just come on and go, here's why I'm going to yell today. And that's not what I want that channel to be. So, but I'll get a background to it.
Okay, good. Good stuff. Wait a minute. Brandon. Oh, I skipped that one. Brandon Robinson, $10, says, if she didn't want you in her prime, don't save her in her decline. Men, you are the prize. Buy toys, invest, travel, build muscle. Couldn't agree more. Scott Graff, $5 Super Chat, says, if 10 men in a room all have $100,000, she will pick the man she wants. So men spending on her is a big product.
Okay. I might go this far. She will get as many of them to spend money on her as she can. And the one that won't is probably the one that has the best odds of getting her.
There you go. I totally agree. Michael Pierre, $5 Super Chat, says, would love a stream with all of my favorites together. Coach Greg Adams, Joker, Donovan Sharp, Entrepreneurs in Cars, Sandman, and Think Before You Sleep, hashtag Free Agent Lifestyle. Yeah, there's just one problem. I'm pretty sure Richard Cooper doesn't like me that much. I know he doesn't like Coach Greg Adams. I guess there's a disagreement there. But yeah, I definitely need to do, we need to do this Holy Trinity podcast. People have been talking to me about you, myself, and Coach Greg Adams. I'll reach out to him at some point. And by the way, Coach Greg Adams coming on the show. He'll be live at Studio B November 14th. So you guys make sure you stay tuned for that. Last question here. Kenneth Falk asks a very, very good question. He said, so what is the commodity in men? And what is the commodity in women? Very good question.
You want me to answer that one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Easy one. Men provide everything.
There it is. Men
provide just what's in the pants. Okay. And maybe some friendship and companionship. Now, that's why I say you have to be good on your own, 100% on your own. Because if a woman came up to you and said, I do not have the physical ability to provide any intimacy, like that, just none of that is there. I was born like a Barbie doll. There's nothing here. Do you want her? I mean, what, unless she's rich maybe and says, I'll spend all my money on you. What? Well, you have to keep her happy, do this, this, that, and you get nothing out of it.
Right. Right.
We really are, we want women that are pretty and nice to us and give us intimacy. And we do a lot for that. But other than that, really, at least in my mind, so, but the commodity for men, security, peace of mind. I'll handle this for you. Here's some money. When you get older, I'll make sure if somebody threatens you, I got, like, we're everything. We're the security. We're the money. We're the take care of you. We're the provider. That's why we're called providers.
All right. That's right. This is the difference between, and here's the thing. I would actually submit this to you. We bring, I guess, more to the table in sort of a worldly type view. Our utility, our agency as men helps the world. We build, we invent, we create. Women don't really have as much use out in the world, except, of course, for providing us with people, right? That is huge. Without women and men, we don't have people. But think about that for a second. Men are willing to bring so much more to the table. And this is the way it's been since the beginning of time. We're willing to bring strength, structure, stability, finances, time, etc., just for exclusive access to a woman's body.
It's designed by nature.
That's exactly right. So guys, don't be upset that she doesn't really bring anything to the table except for her body. This is the way it is. Now, she also needs to be able to cook and clean. She needs to be feminine and docile, but that's going to be for you. You want your woman to provide those things for you, not for everybody else. Because the more of herself she gives to everybody else, the less is going to be left over for you. And then at 7 years, she gets that 7-year itch. She starts to step out on you. So
go ahead. And let me just interject. One man and 1,000 women, society survives.
There you go.
Is it going to be happy, dude? he's going to be a busy dude, but society survives as long as there's enough genetic material to get in there and keep anything odd happening, like sisters with sisters and brothers with brothers. But one guy in 1,000 women, society survives. 1,000 men and one woman, it's over.
It's a wrap.
And so nature has designed it for women on that level to be more valuable. The thing is that if the way society is structured, if a woman's also working, she's also doing all these other things. And in the same token saying, I got rid of the kid, or I don't even want kids. Well, you just threw away the best thing that you brought to the table. So now you're basically saying, I'm a guy, except I don't provide as much. I'm not as durable. I can't provide the security. And also, I don't want to have kids. You've thrown yourself away at that point. Yep. If you want to look at it from a traditional standpoint. So women need to realize, I need to bring more to the table. Like, I'll date a man that makes the same amount of money or less than I do. I'll date a man that, if we're going to readjust this, you can't ask men to readjust and then you say, I'm not changing. It's either got to be all or none. And men see this, and men are like, you're not changing. I'm not interested.
Peace out, man. Alex Horman with the five euros says simping would be totally okay if women were virtuous, civilized, honest, submissive, and loyal, but that seems to be over. I understand what he's saying, but that's incorrect.
It's not simping, it's providing.
There you go. That's it. See, because providing today, or I'm sorry, simping today is providing yesteryear.
Without getting anything back.
Dude, I'm telling you, back in the 1950s and 1960s, men used to simp. But it's not that men have changed. It's the women who have changed. Now, women and men alike see that providing for a woman, I guess, in that way is simping. You want to know why that's simping now, Joker?
You get nothing back.
There you go. Women used to have something to offer men back in the day. They no longer have anything to offer. Men, we still have all of these things to offer. So when men and women see men offering women the world in exchange for, well, nothing, that's called simping. Back in 1950, 1960, you're 100% right. That was called providing. Interesting novel concept, right?
Yeah, because if you think about it, it's I'm 1950s dad. I work really hard and I provide for the family. I raise the kids. I make sure the household's safe, but I can't. There's no option of me not working. I must work. And if it's not enough money, I must get a second job. I will provide for my family. And what did she bring? Take care of the kids, mom, help educate them, cook, clean, keep the household neat, and schedule things like parties and events and keep our social life going. That was the contract. Now what's the contract? Okay, well, I provide and I provide security. That's the same. I'll make sure I provide for the family. Well, we don't really need you to. The daddy government's got us. So we don't need that from you anymore. Security, we've got police. So society's development, so what is a man really needed for anymore? Nothing. So then what's her arrangement? Well, what do you bring to the table? Me. Okay, well, what's me? Do you cook? Well, I once boiled water without burning it. Okay. You cook? No. Do you want to keep the household clean? 50-50. No, 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 no. Do you want to help raise the kids? Well, I got a nanny and they go to school all day. Well, what is she bringing? Nothing. So man can't provide because he's been replaced, and women won't provide. So what's the point? So a simp is just, I am providing, and what are you getting in return? Nothing.
Nothing. And that
me and showed me a Bob.
The woman, that's the variable. The woman is the variable. When a man provides, depending upon what the woman does or does not bring to the table, makes him a provider or a simp.
And they enacted laws that allow the government to replace men. So now my taxes go to the government, and then the government pays a single mom or someone that's unemployed. Yep. And so now I used to be the dad, but now it's going off to the government. And now the government gives it to a single mom, and maybe the father's still paying by child support. So she has the security of the government, the backdrop of the government, the money from the government. Man's not needed anymore. So men also have to understand that they've been given a bad deal and that they are replaceable. So what does a guy bring to the table? He can be good looking, athletic, and she desires him and wants to sleep with him. And other than that, though, everything else is provided. So your best bet is the short casual relationship.
Yep.
You know, pay to play. If you want to do it that way, do something casual, because they don't need you anymore. So just be that. You turn into the girl. You'd be like, I provide this. You get me. I work out in the gym. I'm good looking. I'm doing okay downstairs. Do you want some of this? Now you just turn into the girl. And if they don't want that, then you move on.
Kenneth Falk says, I wish women could see guys like guys see guys. We are truly honest, good people to be around. Most of us don't want to rule the world, just someone to see it with. That's the problem. Yep. I agree with you, Kenneth, but that ain't, and I'm not bagging on Kenneth here. Yeah. A lot of men feel this way, Joker. A lot of men don't want to take over the world. Men don't want to have to be sleeping with a bunch of women. Men just, and listen, I've lived that player life, right? Dude, I've slept with 4 and 5 girls at the same time.
It was good.
It's listen, as much fun as that is, it is a better life to be in a relationship of consequence with a woman I love and maybe trust a little, I guess. But that's how it is. Girls ain't like that. Girls don't reward good men anymore.
They punish them. I mean, 60, depending on the country, 60-80% of women initiate the divorce 50% of the time on the first wedding. And then on top of that, they win custody and child support 85% of the time. So what do you get for getting married? You get a coin flip. And in the meantime, she gets a golden parachute. What do you get out of it? Honestly, as a man, what do you get out of it? Nothing. You get guarantees, promises. You get nothing. So what is the point? All you're doing is saying, I'm going to give you all my stuff. I'm going to provide for you. Oh, and if she cheats and she lies about you doing something that you never did, you're out. So what's the point? And again, if you say, well, I just wish a woman would love me. That's mommy love. It doesn't exist, man. You want mommy love, love your mommy, and your mommy will love you. But if you want a woman to care for you, a woman will never care for you for existing and being a man. She will only care for you for what you provide, whether that's being really good in bed, whether that's you're fun to be around, whether society, as a matter of fact, only values men for what they bring to the table. Look at how many men are disposable heroes. Oh, we cheer and clap them on when they sign up to go to war. We cheer and clap them on when they come home. But how much do we really care about those guys that were left over there that never came home? You don't hear about the parades and the, but in the meantime, what's all over the news? Oh, Cardi B's WAP.
Oh my God.
Buster in the summer and strong femininity. And what about the guys that laid down their lives to keep this country safe?
Nothing.
So as soon as men understand you are what you provide, that's it. That is it. You never were going to be loved for just you being you.
Women do not love you for who you are. They love you for what you are and what you provide.
That's
R1, $10 says Don the Goat. Well, I appreciate that. Dauda Diop, $2 says best crossover in the words of Joker. Shocking. Drew Black, $5 says, I'm 49 and I've been saying for the past 20 years that marriage is an outdated social construct. Absolutely. The Jimmy ZT, $20 says, hands down, Manosphere video of the year. Cool. Looks like we're up for an award or two. SL with the 20 British pounds says, many of us went in with the provider mindset, expecting a wife to bring something to the table. Pardon me. But they taught us just take. No kids. She took loads of savings and left me in debt, but still very happily divorced. P2P.
Pay to play.
Hum with the two. Well, did I already do the 2 euros?
No.
Okay. Alicia Anderson says, I worked in the Blue Flame Lounge in Atlanta. And on Bankhead and Club Wax on Fulton Industrial for 4 years. Best place to learn and soak up abundance game. Listen, at the end of the day, if you really, really, really want to know what women are really like, I always say there are two occupations where you can find out how women really, really operate. Either a taxi cab driver or an Uber driver, right? I think there was another profession that I had said before. But dude, if you drive Uber, you will, girls will have conversations in front of you because you think you'll never see them again. Obviously strip clubs, if you work in a strip club, you will definitely see a woman's true nature. Joker, listen, man, this was a lot of fun. Thanks for making time for us today. I didn't want to take up too much of your time here on a Saturday. And if you got other stuff, you got to work on your bus and get that ankle right. Tell the people where they can find where you are.
Obviously Better Bachelor here on YouTube. Better Bachelor, I guess it's betterbachelor.locals.com is kind of a forum. It's my own private server over on Locals. My more risque material where I actually get to use fun language and talk about men's issues that have more to do with laws and appropriate actions that YouTube seems to squash. I'm going to be putting it over there. Other than that, I'm not on social media.
Okay. All right. Fire away. As you guys all know, give me 1 second here. Later on today at 3:00 Eastern, 12 Pacific, I will be joined in studio by the one and only Terrence Pop. We'll be taking questions. I've got a YouTube post as well as a Patreon post where you can put the questions in that you want to ask. If you have a question you want to ask over the phone, like through the voicemail, I'm gonna be closing that up here in about an hour. I've got four or five that I've already got pre-recorded, but guys, be sure to tune in 3 o'clock Eastern, 12 Pacific. Joker, thank you very, very much for making time for us today. And we got to do this again sometime soon, man.
My pleasure. Anytime, bud.
Thank you.